The Old Testament reading comes from the prophet Isaiah, the 43rd chapter, beginning at the first verse. But now, thus says the Lord, He who created you, O Jacob, He who formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name, you are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you, and through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. When you walk through fire, you shall not be burned, and the flame shall not consume you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I give Egypt as your ransom, Cush and Seba in exchange for you. Because you are precious in my eyes and honored, and I love you, I give men in return for you, peoples in exchange for your life. Fear not, for I am with you. I will bring your offspring from the east, and from the west I will gather you. I will say to the north, Give up, and to the south, Do not withhold. Bring my sons from afar, and my daughters from the end of the earth. Everyone who is called by my name, whom I created for glory, for my glory, whom I formed and made. O Lord, have mercy on us. The epistle reading comes from the first letter of St. Peter, the third chapter. For Christ also suffered once for sins, the righteous for the unrighteous, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive in the Spirit, in which he went and proclaimed to the spirits in prison, because they formerly did not obey, when God's patience waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was being prepared, in which a few, that is, eight persons, were brought safely through water. Baptism, which corresponds to this, now saves you, not as a removal of dirt from the body, but as an appeal to God for a good conscience through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who has gone into heaven and is at the right hand of God, with angels, authorities, and powers having been subjected to him. O Lord, have mercy on us. Holy Gospel comes to us according to St. Matthew, the third chapter. Then Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to John to be baptized by him. John would have prevented him, saying, I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me? But Jesus answered him, Let it be so now, for thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he consented. And when Jesus was baptized, immediately he went up from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and coming to rest on him. And behold, a voice from heaven said, This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. O Lord, have mercy on us.
Thanks be to God.
Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. When you read through the New Testament, one thing becomes very clear. Baptism is important to the life of the Christian. On Pentecost, about 3,000 people were brought into the Christian church, and they were brought in through baptism. The Ethiopian eunuch, after hearing Philip explain how Jesus fulfills the scriptures, asks to be baptized into the Christian faith. Our Lord Jesus Christ himself not only commands that his church go out and baptize, but he himself was baptized. Baptism is an essential part of the Christian faith, not just for the church in general, but for each individual Christian. And yet, it's difficult to understand. The law and the Ten Commandments, that's pretty concrete. Prayer and faith and confession of faith, they're not quite as cut and dried, but they're still pretty straightforward. But now in Luther's Small Catechism, we get into something that's not quite so tangible. In baptism, we have a physical act as water is applied to the head of someone, but there's far, far more going on than what we can see. And that makes it a little frustrating to us mortals who like to sense and quantify everything. In the Catechism, Luther asks, and then very kindly answers, four main questions. What is baptism? What benefits does baptism give? How can water do such great things? And what does such baptizing with water indicate? And so we'll start with the first question. What is baptism? And sadly, for as important as baptism is to the life of the church, you'll get some very different answers depending on whom you ask. Some say that baptism is you making a public profession of your faith. Others say that it is you dedicating yourself to God. Still others say that it is you accepting Jesus and making yourself a Christian. All of these are incorrect, though, and for the same reason. When you hear answers such as that, notice who's being active, who's kind of showcased in the answer, who's doing the doing. It's you. So many people see baptism as something that you do, but it's not. It's God's work, not yours. God is the active one in baptism. We are merely recipients. Luther says, baptism is not just plain water, but it is the water included in God's command and combined with God's word. It's God's word. It's God's grace. It's God's power. It's God's baptism, not ours. If baptism is about our faith, our dedication, our commitment to Jesus, well, then what good is it at all? We are no good at keeping our promises. We're sinners, and you can't trust us any farther than you can throw us. If baptism is about anything that we ourselves promise to do, then it is no source of comfort at all, because we will fail. But since it is God's power, God's grace, and God's promise, it is an eternal source of comfort, because He, unlike us, is steadfast and immovable. When He makes a promise, it is absolutely certain, and it will never fail. This is why we baptize infants. If it's our power, then no, babies shouldn't be baptized, because they can't understand it, they can't do much of anything. But since it's God's power, babies are no less in need or no less able to receive it than we are as adults. That is also why we only need baptism once. If it's about our promise, then yeah, we need to keep redoing it, keep getting booster baptisms, trying to get it right at some point. But when God does it, it's done. It's perfect. It's absolute, and it is eternal. One baptism at any age is all that it takes to fully receive the eternal benefits given freely by God. Which takes us to Luther's second question. What benefits does baptism give? And here too, you'll hear lots of different and sadly wrong answers. People will say that it is simply an outward act, that it is symbolic at best, that it's a wonderful tradition but doesn't actually do anything. And again, if baptism is simply something done by us sinners, then yes, that's all that we can hope for. But since baptism is God's work and not ours, there is much more to it than just a ceremonial act of the church. Luther writes, baptism works forgiveness of sins, rescues from death and the devil, and gives eternal salvation to all who believe this, as the words and promises of God declare. Since it is God's work, His words, His promise, baptism definitely does something. It gives us everything. Baptism is a means of grace through which we receive the benefits of the cross and the empty tomb of Jesus Christ. Everything that He has done on the cross, His salvific work, His atoning sacrifice, all of that is delivered to us in the waters of baptism. Those who say that baptism doesn't actually do anything have not read the Bible very well, because every time baptism is mentioned, it's mentioned in conjunction with salvation and forgiveness. Peter writes in our epistle reading, baptism, which corresponds to the flood, now saves you. Paul says that in baptism we are united with Jesus in His death and His resurrection, and that when we are baptized we put on Christ and are clothed in His perfection and righteousness. Jesus Christ Himself says, whoever believes and is baptized will be saved. Baptism is the eternal washing of regeneration, the daily cleansing of our sins. Baptism is God coming into our sinful lives while we are dead and making us alive. Baptism is not our promise to God, but His promise to us, that He will spare us from sin, death, and the devil, that He will cleanse us of all our transgression and guilt. The waters of baptism, they quench the fires of hell for us. They snatch us out of the devil's hands, and they make us the children of God and heirs of His heavenly kingdom. This is why baptism is so important. This is why our church services begin in remembrance of our baptism. This is why we make the sign of the cross to remind ourselves that we are baptized. Why we remember our baptism birthdays and ask God to keep us in mind of our baptism every day of our lives. Baptism washes away your sin. It drowns your old sinful self. It unites you with Jesus Christ in His death and resurrection, and it works faith in your stony, rebellious heart. Baptism does all that. Which then leads us to Luther's third question. How? How can water do such great things? Well, to answer that, you have to understand where we get the water that we use in a baptism. Is it water that's gathered from the Jordan River by dedicated monks in special robes? Is it then flown to St. Louis, where it is blessed in a special ceremony at the International Center? Is it stored in a special, bejeweled, climate-controlled closet somewhere here in the church? No, it isn't. The water that we use in baptisms here, it comes from a very special place known as the faucet, which is connected to a wonderful reservoir that we call Loudoun Municipal Water. And let me assure you, Loudoun water is not very special at all. So how can plain old tap water do such great things? Well, Luther says, certainly not just water, but the Word of God in and with the water does these things, along with the faith which trusts this Word of God in the water. For without God's water, the water is plain water and no baptism. But with the Word of God, it is a baptism. That is a life-giving water, rich in grace and a washing of the new birth in the Holy Spirit. What do you have if you take God's word out of a baptism? A wet person. That's it. Because it's not the water that's important. It's God's word. So why don't we use rose petals or oil or just God's word or caramel sauce for it? Because God commanded water. And we don't get to change God's command just because we think it would be neat or to try to make it more special. God has established baptism as His word combined with water. And so in faith, we do as God commands, understanding that His command is not the command of a tyrant, but the command of a loving Heavenly Father giving us His grace. And as we do that, we know that God's command is not just an arbitrary decision. As Luther explains in his final question, what does such baptizing with water indicate? It indicates that the old Adam in us should by daily contrition and repentance be drowned and die with all sins and evil desires, and that a new man should daily emerge and arise to live before God in righteousness and purity forever. Baptism drowns our old sinful nature, killing it just as surely as crucifixion killed our Lord Jesus Christ. And just as Jesus rose from the grave, a new man arises from baptism, cleansed of sin, desiring to live for God, striving to turn away from wickedness and live in God's righteousness and purity. But did you notice, though, that Luther emphasizes that this happens daily. Isn't one baptism sufficient? Absolutely yes. And the power of that one baptism is so great that it lasts forever, daily, continually washing you of your sin. But if baptism removes our sin, why do we need to be cleansed daily? Well, Karl Barth put it this way. that while the old Adam is drowned in baptism, it turns out the rascal is a frightfully good underwater swimmer. The old Adam keeps bobbing to the surface, keeps bubbling up within us, keeps coming to lure us back into sin and drive us to wickedness and depravity. Baptism washes away our sin, but we still sin daily and need to be cleansed constantly. Baptism drowns our old sinful nature and gives us eternal salvation, but as the old Adam drowns, he thrashes and flails and seeks to do as much damage as possible. And so we need the benefits of baptism daily, continually. And by the grace of God, we are given it. We poor sinners are washed clean daily. We are joined to Jesus Christ in his death and his resurrection. We have not just hope, but confidence, because that is God's promise given to us. We are clothed in his robe of righteousness. We are given the eternal washing of regeneration that spares us from hell and carries us into heaven. We are given the precious gift of baptism, which now saves us, not by anything that we do, but by what God has done for us. In baptism, the atoning sacrifice of Jesus Christ is applied to our lives. We join him in his death to sin and in his resurrection to eternal life. He has graciously commanded baptism. He is the source of baptism's power, and through that precious gift of baptism, we are given the eternal gifts won for us by Jesus Christ as we are joined to him in his death and in his resurrection. Because there is the only source of salvation. There, at the cross of Jesus Christ, at his empty tomb, you are forgiven of every one of your sins, and eternal life in heaven is yours. To God alone be all glory, now and forever. Amen. And now that peace of God which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in true faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.